That's a good place to have your mind stayed on Jesus. Isaiah stated in Isaiah 26, I believe in verse number 3, with reference to one's mind, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Certainly, there are so many distractions in our world today that it's challenging to keep our minds focused on Jesus. However, we should always be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. At the beginning of our Bible school session this morning, Brother William Prowl mentioned our gospel meeting that began here on last Lord's Day morning and concluded on this past Wednesday night with Brother Kenneth Fleming from the Newburgh Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky. Brother Kenneth did a commendable job. He brought 5 very challenging and enlightening and enriching lessons from the Word of God. Each time he mounted the pulpit, he brought a lesson that was worthwhile and meaningful. After a series of lessons in a special gospel meeting like the one we've just concluded, it is always challenging to think of something that is appropriate, that is meaningful, that you can share with the congregation after the visiting preacher has gone back to his home and to his home congregation. I want to call your attention to the scripture lesson that was read a few moments ago, taken from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. Ezekiel ministered in a very evil time. The people of God in the exile, who were living at that time, had an attitude and disposition that is very similar to the attitude and disposition that characterizes many of God's people today. Ezekiel 33, starting with verse 30. I'm going to read these verses again just for the sake of reemphasis. Verse number 30 of Ezekiel 33, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee, or talking of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." When all is said and done, there's a whole lot more said than done. When all is heard and listen to. There's a whole lot more that is heard and that is understood and that is known than is actually implemented in practice in our lives. So we should be concerned about doing something about it, doing something about the word that we have heard. You know, it's good to listen to the word. It's good to hear what the message of the Lord is. But it is even better and even more important that we make sure that we do those things that the word requires. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In reality, although we don't spend very much time studying or teaching from the book of Revelation or preaching from the book of Revelation, this is the one book in all of sacred literature that promises blessings to those who will hear it and those who will heed it, both at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. At the beginning of the book, right here in verse number 3 of the first chapter, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And of course, he doesn't stop there. He says, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now go to the last chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 14. Revelation 22 and verse number 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Special blessing pronounced upon those that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now, we don't want to de-emphasize the importance of lending an attentive ear to the message that comes to us from God. When we look at the specific messages that are given to the seven churches of Asia, after the message is given by the Lord, it is always stated, as in Revelation 2 and verse number 7, after the message was given to the church at Ephesus, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Next, we find after the message was given to the church at Smyrna, in verse number 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And after the message was given to the church at Pergamos, verse number 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After the message was given to the church at Thyatira, the Bible says, in verse number 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After the message was given to the church at Sardis, in verse number 6 of chapter 3, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The message that was given to the church at Philadelphia, after they were given their specific message, tailor-made for them, designed with them in mind. Verse number 13 of chapter 3 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then finally, after the message was given to the church at Laodicea, in verse number 22 of chapter 3, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's important that we hear the word of God and we listen. Those of us who were here, we listened attentively to what the word of the Lord had to say. We were inspired and motivated. We were exhilarated, many of us, by the words that were preached by the preacher. We heard the word. We enjoyed the word. And we've talked about the word. But now it is time to do something about the word that we have heard. James emphasizes the futility of hearing without heeding. He emphasizes the futility of hearing but not doing. Turn to that familiar passage, oft-quoted from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James says, "Wherefore, lay apart, wherefore, my beloved brethren, lay apart, let every man rather be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." So we should be eager to hear. We should be excited about hearing the word of God. But he comes down in verse 21. He says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness or rank growth of wickedness and receive." See, if the word is going to do you any good, it has to not just be heard, it has to be received. And it does not just have to be received, it has to be received with a certain attitude, a certain spirit. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. You have to have a submissive, meek spirit in order that the word will really benefit you. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And then in verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is important to hear, but it is more important to heed what the word says. It is more important to apply the word to our lives. It is not just enough to hear the word and to enjoy the word and to agree with the word, and all that's wonderful. But implementing the requirements of the word into practice, that is what is of preeminent importance. That is what is primarily significant. So James says, don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word, because every time you hear the word and fail to act upon it, he's saying you are deceiving your own self. He further says, "Well, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." which reminds us of the message given in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 and Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14. There is a tremendous blessing in hearing and obeying the word of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 ever reminds us in the words of Jesus, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The voice of Jesus still reverberates down the corridors of time. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus, turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus spoke of the scribes and Pharisees in uncomplimentary terms in Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 and 3. Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, verse number 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." And then he says, in verse number 3, "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Jesus said, these guys know what they're talking about. These guys sit in Moses' seat. They have an understanding of the law. They have an understanding of the word of God. He says, so whatever they tell you, they know what they're talking about. Whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but don't do according to their deeds, because they say and do not. If we are to please God, and if we are to live successfully for God, when all is said and done, we must have done that which is required of us of God. We will have done something about the word we have heard. We will have bridged the yawning gap between practice and profession, between saying and doing, between belief and behavior, between the ought and the is, between the walk and the talk. Yeah, we have great knowledge of the word, but it won't do us any good at all unless we obey it, unless we practice it, unless we incorporate it into our lives. In our efforts to influence others, and in our efforts to share the message in a meaningful and impactful way with others, we must practice what we preach. We must practice what we hear that is preached. You know, you can sit in Bible classes every time the classes assemble. You can be in your seat every time a message is preached during a worship service, but still, unless you heed the word that is heard and put it into practice, it won't do you any good at all. Edgar A. Guest was right when he said, and he expresses my sentiments, and I share in his philosophy, when he says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. The best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. See, people are watching, and people know whether or not you are taking serious heed to the word you've heard, and if you're doing something about it. My challenge today is that we all do something about it. If you are here and you stand the guilty distance from the Lord and do not know the Lord in the pardoning of your sins, if you are on the outside of the ark of safety, you don't have to remain in that unenviable and unfortunate state and condition. You can come on the inside. You can become a part of God's family through obedience to the gospel of Christ. You've heard how he died for your sins and mine, how he was buried and how he arose again the third day, how he did that for you and did that for me. Because he had no sins of his own, he shed his blood for our sins. He gave his life on behalf of us. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and arise from the waters of baptism, ready to continue doing something about it, continuing to give heed to the word you have heard. Not being satisfied just to hear the word, just to understand the word, just to know the word, but being committed to living out the reality of the word every day in your life, at home, at work, in the marketplace, on the highways and byways, in Bible classes, and everywhere you go, be committed to living out the reality of the Lord's word and the Lord's will and the Lord's way in your life. If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside, you've not given a very serious heed to the word that you've heard, we'd like to encourage you to do that today. Just decide, I'm going to trust and obey today. I'm going to become a Christian today. If I'm in error as a Christian, I'm going to rededicate my life today. Brother Jones, I accept the challenge to do something about it. Will you, as we together stand and as we sing? Amen. Sister Linda is standing. We're sure that